I'm going to try it.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gary, can I borrow your pen?
I didn't solve it all.
Can I have the roll call, please, Kelly?
For what?
Here. Here.
I am here.
Present. Okay, public comment period. Do any of you two wish to speak at this time? All right, it's being recorded. Thanks. Hearing none, seeing none. We will move on. Supervisor's comments. I do have a prepared statement. I want to start off my comments by thanking Sue Halbritter from the Queens Central newspaper. I brought it to her attention that Parrish wasn't on their front page map of the area. Well, I looked at the paper last week, and lo and behold, Parrish was on the map. So, Sue, I want to thank you for putting Parrish on the map. Since our last board meeting, I attended the Parrish Volunteer Fire Department's annual dinner. I issued the oath of office to their officers. Thank you, Chief Harvey, for having me and my wife. It was a very nice occasion. I also attended a meeting of the Salmon Rivers Council of Governments. Tug Hill continues to be a great resource for us. Angie and I have attended two webinars. The first was on the New York State Retirement System and ROAs. The second was from the Comptroller's Office. It dealt with the new way we're going to have to report our financials at year end. Angie also has visited with the town of Richland's bookkeeper for 2 days. She continues to learn her position and is dedicated to it. I finally wish to thank Paul Baxter for his continued assistance to the town of Parrish. He is always there when I need him. This week, he helped set up a new computer for the supervisor's office. Thanks again, Paul. That ends my supervisor's comments. Any counselors wish to make any comments at this time? Hearing none and seeing none, we will move on. Next item on the agenda, to approve our minutes from 1/5/23 and 1/19/23. Does anybody have any problems with either of those meeting minutes? Okay, can I have a motion to approve those minutes, please? Robin and?
Second.
Mr. Houghton. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained. Minutes pass. Departmental reports. The assessor is not here today. I know she was very busy this week. She had many people from the parish area looking to look for senior tax exemptions. So she was quite busy. But I will move on to the CEO's EEO. I do have his written report here and I will read it for you as he will not be in attendance tonight. This is the January 2023 report. During January, 3 new building permits were issued, 1 zoning permit was issued, 7 permits were closed out, 19 building inspections were performed, and 3 violations were issued. 8 fire safety inspections were completed, and 2 re-inspections were done. I've contacted the health department and the DEC regarding the property at 3028 West Main Street. I also sent the owner a final order to remedy this property as it is a nuisance property. I've been busy calling and setting up final inspections to close out permits for the 2022 year. In January, I attended the town and village monthly meetings. I have addressed several call and complaints, landlord-tenant issues, and I have also spoken with the owner of 234 County Route 22 regarding his violations on the property and what needs to be done to correct them. He will be correcting them, is what it states afterwards. I've had several office meetings with owners looking to build, and I also have 4 permits pending planning board reviews. I am working with Williamson Law to upgrade our software and also the property list. There ends the code reports. The dog control officer, I spoke with him last week. He said he could not attend tonight's meeting. So we will push that off till next month. And we will continue on with the fire company report, please. Chief?
Yeah, first of all, Jim, I
behalf of myself and the park, I appreciate you coming down to our installation of offices. January, one structure, one vegetate, vehicle fire, 12 EMS, 5 motor vehicle accidents, and so on. Total calls a month 38, company hours 2007, man hours 103 hours 15 minutes, mileage 241, mutually required standby twice, and seen once. Mutually given one time, one standby, four times the scene. Mutually total calls is 5. Couple of hours, 3 hours, 47 minutes, 9 hours, 28:15, mileage 63. Hastings 3 times, last guy once, and we went to Palermo. Total calls in a month 43, company hours 23:54, man hours 131:30, mileage 304. Training hours for a month of January was 6 hours. Man hours 128 hours, mileage is 0.
Fantastic. Any questions for the chief? Terrific. Thank you very much, Chief.
Thank you.
Highway is not here this evening. He's having some more health issues. I spoke with him today, and we will talk about that at a later time in the meeting. The tax collector. I know Kevin said he was thinking about coming down to give his report. He was preparing it. I'll put him at the end if he comes in. But I do know, I can tell everybody this, we have been paid in full for our taxes that we collect. And Kevin was very diligent. We started doing things differently due to our last audit that we had with the tax collector. He actually got, he got a checking account and he paid me on a regular basis.
Good.
So we're all good with that. And we continue to make improvements. And so that was good for him. I will let him tell you the amounts and whatever if he comes in. I'm going to move on to Paul Baxter with the Tug Hill Circuit Rider report, please.
Thank you. You have my report in front of you. I'll recap it and a couple of things to add to it. The Tug Hill Commission webinar on knowledge transfer has now been scheduled for February 28th at 6 p.m. via Zoom. That'll be on a Tuesday. And you've got a copy of the flyer there. The registration is required at the link that I provide. The topic will also be the subject of one of the sessions at the local government conference in April. And if you missed the webinar on the 28th and you'd like to watch it later, we typically record those and put them on the Tug Hill YouTube channel. So just go to YouTube, search on Tug Hill, and you should be able to find the channel and all our recordings, including that one.
Paul, could you... what is knowledge transfer?
Well, basically, knowledge transfer is something that Jim wishes that he'd had when he came into office.
knowledge?
And not just Jim, every official
right.
coming into office. If Jim wasn't around tomorrow to do what he needs to do to keep the town going, do you know everything he does?
No. And I mean,
how you have continuity?
When you think about the changing of the guard, yes. If Jim and Kelly both are not reelected at the same time, yes. I see that being a gargantuan issue.
And that's exactly what this is about, is trying to capture the things that important people, well, everybody's important in different ways, trying to capture the things that people do that if they weren't around to do them, would miss them. And some of them are things like contacts with the state for the comptroller's office or filing with state retirement or whatever else it is, you know, you need to file with the state. It's an attempt to capture that type of thing.
Right.
So that's what this is basically about, is how do you do that? And we, I think it was a month or two ago, I passed out a copy of the draft knowledge transfer questionnaire that's kind of like a generic thing that you could use. And the same thing applies to fire departments. We've lost members in our fire department that when we lost them, we didn't know all the things they were doing until suddenly some things weren't getting done. They were getting done automatically in the past when that person was there. But
right.
Sometimes we lose people unexpectedly too.
I like that form that you had handed out.
Yeah. So the one we have now is, I think, developed a little bit further. It's based on that. And I think it'll be a useful tool for our departments and not-for-profits as well as for municipal governments. So that's what it's about.
All right. Thank you.
I facilitated the order of a replacement computer for the supervisor's office. He was using an ancient and slow laptop. We got it set up and configured it. We moved documents and email to it. And as a bonus, it shipped with Windows 10. We upgraded it to Windows 11 because Windows 10 will not be supported by Microsoft in 2 years, early 2025. And we just got this computer. It should be good for more than 2 years. It should be good for, I'm going to guess, 5 years at least. So it made as much sense as anything to move it over to Windows 11 right now, right at the beginning of its use, because if we ran into any snags that resulted in data loss, and Windows 11 transition has gone really well with the ones I've done so far. But if there ever was a snag, there's no better time to try to do that than when we don't have a lot invested in it in terms of the way it's set up and configured. Because part of what I was doing in that is not just setting it up, it's installing applications and it's making it work with the network and the whole system. This is one of the other things I did besides migrating it to Windows 11. We added a capacity that Jim didn't have previously, and that is he can now print directly to the Canon laser printer in the supervisor's office. He was able to print to the color inkjet in his office, and that got him by for then. But there are times that Jim needs to run reports that are multiple pages, right, and multiple copies, and that's what he's got that big machine for. And the one that's connected to it now does that, but this is an additional way now of making the best use out of that machine. So we've got some new capacities. Now, related to that, part of what I was doing, as Jim can tell you, when we're doing this on, I did this in two parts, part on Monday afternoon and part yesterday afternoon. And part of what I was doing, just bouncing back from computer to computer as I was moving things over. One of the things I found out as I was working on the bookkeeper's computer is there were a couple problems. First, Microsoft does a nasty thing. When they do updates, they try to capture you as a user and everything that you do. And that applies particularly to PDFs, which the town uses a lot. It's on a regular basis I've seen that when Microsoft does an update, even if you said, I want to use Adobe Acrobat Reader to read my Adobe document, I mean, what better? Microsoft says, nah, we're not going to let you keep on doing that. We're just going to automatically swap you over to reading in Microsoft software, even if you specified, if you took affirmative action to specify otherwise that you did not want Microsoft to do that, it just goes ahead and does it anyway. Mm-hmm. So that was something that had happened on the bookkeeper's computer. And I got it swapped back so that PDF documents by Adobe are opened in Adobe Acrobat Reader.
Did you have to eliminate the update or go back to preferences? Or?
Yeah, you just have to go to preferences and tell it, no, I want PDFs to be opened in Adobe Acrobat Reader rather than Edge.
Yep.
So we got that taken care of. The other thing I noticed when I was starting it up is it was loading another browser full screen when Jim and the bookkeeper hadn't requested it to. So I tracked that down. There was a piece of software that had gotten installed for whatever reason that was hijacking the browser and making sure that it got first in line for any business that the user of that computer was doing. So we got rid of that. Did a little cleanup on it.
Good.
Past computer things. Well, the Tug Hill Commission has a new. Well, it's not new. It's updated and revised paper on cemeteries, and the title of it is Abandoned Cemeteries and Municipal Responsibility. It really goes beyond just abandoned cemeteries. It talks about cemeteries in general and the state laws that apply to cemeteries, different classes of cemeteries, and all that. So I've got a copy of that. I didn't staple it in case you wanted to make additional copies for anybody who was interested. I figured I'd save you the trouble of removing a staple that you didn't need if you were going to make copies. So,
yes, thanks.
So thank you. You've got that. Just as a running item, there's nothing new this month having to do with wildlife management area payments and having to do with the Salmon River. The supervisor was contacted by an individual who had an interest in salmon restoration in the Little Salmon River, and I will be contacting them. And the other things I have to add is, I noticed you were getting low on copies of the Tug Hill Recreation Guide. So I've got this in.
Yeah, is there a winter one? Is that what you have?
This
winter?
Is the same one that we've been doing. So if you have this one,
okay,
that's the same one.
Yeah, we'll place that on the table when we leave.
I always try to bring more copies when I see you're running lower or you're out.
Do they put out a winter edition or is it just twice a year now?
Trails are Trails. It's not set in the season of publication. Oswego County sometimes has done some regional issues and seasonal publications. But yeah, this is just having to do with Trails. And the last thing I have is I'm going to ask you if everybody on the board has a portfolio. If you don't have one, I'd be happy to give you one. I've got two different sizes.
I'll take a small one.
There you go.
Thank you.
Anybody else need one?
I have a big one already.
Okay. I have a small one. I would take a big one, though.
Yeah, I will take a small one, Paul, actually.
There you go.
Thank you.
Bling. Imagine that. Bling.
Yeah, mine.
The big one. There you go.
All right. There you
go. Can't wait till April.
That's yeah. Be fun.
Any other questions for Paul? Hearing none, seeing none. Thank you again.
Very good.
Thank you very much, Paul.
I saw Kevin walk in, so let's hear from the tax collector.
Sorry, I missed my regular schedule. Stop.
It's okay.
I was trying to figure a spreadsheet out and count, and it's just not printing right.
We pushed you. I knew you were around somewhere. So.
Yeah, pretty awesome. Okay, well, this will be a little bit of a shorter report than last one because I'm underway with tax collection stuff. Money coming in. The good part that the town has been made paid in full. Oh, Mr. Horning.
Yes.
Okay.
You can just put that in his box. Or...
Yeah, I did it. Okay. Okay. As you can see, well, the software collection program does not give me much of a report. So basically, I'm using my trial balance from my close of business on Tuesday.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah. So basically, original warrant, nothing changed there. No adjustments, so therefore it's still the 2,000,006. So the combination there, first and second installments, that totals up to $21,154.32. We've got full payments at $1,427,908.72. And since this is now February, penalties are starting to attach. So we've had $239.26 worth of penalties come in. So if you guys are asking, well, how does that break down across the town and the village? I'll tell you in a minute as soon as I get my paperwork open. Let's see, village, where are you? Oh, there we are. Okay, so far, since obviously the village is part of the town, I still have to deal with their tax bills too. So the so far I've had 148 properties in the village pay, be it either a full payment or a partial payment. So that's of that full payments there, that's $268,897.90 is village part. Partials or installments is $5,673.87. Penalties, $26.24. Grand total, $273,598.01. That's in the village for 148 properties. For the town, which is obviously the bulk of the report, number-wise, 745 properties for a grand total of $1,160,010.82 in full payments, partial payments, $15,480.45, penalties, $213.02, town alone, $1,175,704.29. And the computer does its math. So grand total full payments is what's on my my trial balance, $1,427,908.72. Installment payments or partials, $21,154.32. Penalties, $239.26. Grand total, $1,449,302.30 for taxes collected, with $1,181,649.19 still outstanding. Bulk of that is the my lovely CoreLogic equals. I love those idiots because I have to process all their checks now. And CoreLogic is always a pain in the tail section.
Why are they late?
They're not late because the checks are dated prior, you know, they're dated before the end of January.
Right.
But because CoreLogic is the only entity out there that can't follow English instructions, they send me, I send them nicely the bills. They send me back stacks of paper with checks attached. No bills. I don't have time, nor does my deputy, to sit there and go through every little itemized sheet that they give me with a check and pull the bill and make a copy to comply with the county, because I have to give the county the bottom of every check, every bottom of every tax bill. Not going to happen. I don't have the time to do it, neither does my deputy. So we sent the request back to them. They complied, sent it back. We still have a little bit of a headache, but I just now have to do the data entry part.
Gotcha.
So this, trust me, the stack is about this thick.
Wow.
And the reason why I was not here earlier is because I also received from county the list of things that paid directly to county. National Grid, Verizon, Time Warner, Mr. Fuller cell tower thingy. Who else is on there? Probably some other thing, other ones too. So I have to put those into the computer, but they have a little box that marks check to county when I do my trial balance page. I have a little box that says pay to county, and that's what does, but I still have to account for them in my records.
Right.
So I have to input those guys, but trying to get a spreadsheet that comes across four pages nicely on one page, not so nicely on page two. Page three, I've got something stuck in the middle of nowhere's land, and on page four, so I've got something stuck in the middle of nowhere land again. So I was sending him emails, hey, can you retransmit this as one page? Because I've gotten it that way before. So that's where I'm at.
Gotcha.
But yeah,
computers so, and technology again.
On the loan, the mortgage company, they don't incur the penalty. I can always backdate my computer to 131, which I do because they made their attempt.
Right.
I just can't get it right.
Any other questions for Kevin?
Nice job, Kevin. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Kevin.
And the county, the town did get the reforestation payment. They sent me a curveball on that when they sent me the check directly instead of putting a direct deposit into the town's account. I was expecting it to go into the town's account. That's where I told the supervisor and the bookkeeper, hey, be looking for this. What did county do? Send me a hard copy check.
It's even better. Yes.
It's still
in that time. They should have done that before, probably.
Yeah, probably. So, but the key point, the town has been received their full amount of the required warrant.
Yeah.
Working on county now.
Okay, thanks again.
Good work, Kevin. Yeah.
We will continue on. We're going to go on to old business and
over this
town justice. John, right?
What was that?
That's the justice court report. But I thought the justice was here.
Yeah, I thought I saw him.
How is that?
Would you like to come chat?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's in this file.
Yep, no worries.
You see what it looks like?
All right. You can have a seat there. If anybody does not know, this is Justice Evan Conroy, and I know we had some questions for him.
I have to talk to you.
Yeah. We've had some questions for him previously, but he is here tonight as well to talk with the board. So if anybody has any questions, we'll start with your questions first. Anybody have any questions for Justice?
Yeah, did we get everything cleared up with the people being able to get a hold of you or contact your clerk and you know, everything that was going on with that situation?
I think to the extent that we can, yes. Being part-time, we're never going to appease everybody. I had, for example, when I got in tonight, I checked the funds yesterday and I had, I think, three messages from people who have stated they've called previously and they want us to get back to them. We have on the answering machine that we don't check the phones regularly and to email us because we can check our emails throughout the day at work and everything like that. So anyways, I think there's going to continuously be problems with certain people and people not being patient. But we have taken steps to changed the phone messages to let people know that they can should contact us via email.
There's not a way to check your email from a remote location. Not email, forgive me. Your self the messages.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Who do we do service with? Verizon, probably, but
New Visions.
They might not have a way. I know, like Verizon, you can have a Verizon voicemail box. Or I could when I had Verizon.
Yeah, and this is
is a landline.
Landline.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking landline.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, not that I'm aware of.
Right.
I'm not a tech guy. Not that I'm aware of.
It might be worth checking with New Visions to see if they have a New Visions email bot or email. Sorry, I'm really tired. Voicemail box for a landline that's checkable from remote location.
The problem with that is it's not. I come in every morning, usually during the week, check the messages. 6 o'clock, 6:30 in the morning. I'm not calling people. I will call them on the weekend if I'm in. But it's all, they want to pay tickets. They want to have something updated. And we can only do that from what's called the courtroom program, which has to be on specific computers.
Right. He's got to be here in order to.
Right.
Right. So I can't, like, I could talk to people, but I can't do anything.
You can't pull up a file. You can't really.
In courtroom, the program I can't have on my personal laptop.
Right. And that makes
sense. It has to be on these computers. Right. We're kind of stuck to the building.
Is that something you have to do, or is that something the clerk does?
If the clerk's here, she can handle most calls with people. The only things that she can't handle are warrants and things like that. But you got somebody's. It has to be. You have to be in the office. If somebody's like, "Hey, I want to make a payment," great. You know, but you got to be at the computer and to be able to process.
What is she? Is there a schedule when she's here a week?
She comes in a week. She comes in. I think 3 to 4 times a week in the afternoon. She works full time, but she works early. I think she starts at 7 and works till 2 or 2:30. And then she's usually here to check the mail at the post office, check our box up front, come in, process stuff that we
can. Are her hours on the answering machine?
She doesn't have set hours.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's something we ought to look into.
Potentially, yeah.
A couple of days a week or whatever, so right. Many hours, so they can plan when they can come in and pay.
Right, and we do have on there what our court days and hours are.
Yeah.
It's just we don't currently have set hours, and her working full time makes it tough to have.
Yeah, like I said, maybe we could come up with
absolutely.
That's something I can talk to Katie about. Yeah, see what she says if she's got a couple hours one night. During the week or something, where so then you can people. I want to pay my ticket. Well, okay, clerk's here Wednesday, 2 to 4, 4 to 6, or whatever.
Yep,
come in and pay
that's
it.
That's absolutely something that can be looked into.
I know you're never going to make everybody happy, but
right,
you know what I mean.
And I will tell you that most of the people that seem to be the most unhappy are people that have had their license suspended for 5 years and
they want it done now, right?
That's trying to get their scoff lifted, and you know, you need to be on their time. So anyways, for being part-time, we're, you know, I think we're staying on top of things as of now.
Kelly, yes.
Knock on wood.
Has your phone calls been reduced?
Yes.
So that's a good sign. So things are changing.
And one thing that I was told to put on our message machine that I have not yet by our court admin is a specific message not to call the town or the village because they have no authority or jurisdiction to do anything.
No knowledge. No,
so right. Essentially an added message to say, don't bother the town, which I have not put on there yet, but that's something that I can add to it and potentially add some hours after I talk to
them. Again, some people would just ignore that anyhow.
But if they do come to you, you can absolutely tell them that you can't do anything about it, which I'm sure you already do.
One thing I've seen too, when they do this, they've done it like they do it quite often. They did it with a prior judge. If they call and they don't get anybody, they'll call our office and say, "Well, I keep calling and calling and nobody answers." No, that's not true. They called once and nobody picked up the phone and they want to talk to somebody immediately. So then they call us.
Yeah, and I'll get that. I'll get two or three messages from the same person within a day, and our message specifically says that we don't.
No, they think that's all you're doing.
Not there, it's part time.
Sitting there all the time, just waiting for them to call. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So
for the most part, yes.
Yes. Unless Parrish wants to pay for a full-time clerk.
Yeah. No, Dr. Hurst, see what she says. If she can,
right.
She can, whatever, but.
She can. Katie cannot. She can. She's got a full-time job. She's got a good job. She works on base. So, yeah, she cannot do it full-time. However.
Well, not full-time. I'm talking one day a week, you know, whatever,
right.
A couple hours. That'd be great.
If the town could work it to get a full-time clerk, I would tell Katie, you know, look, this person can do it full-time. If there was somebody who was willing to do it full-time,
I don't think it's ever been full-time.
Do we have enough work?
Be full-time, part-time.
Somebody,
yeah. The bad and the good thing is that we had the Daggers here, and they devoted themselves to, they were both retired. They worked a little bit here and there, other jobs, but most of the time,
the only other thing you
could
do,
devote, you know,
the only other thing you can do is say, okay, it is part-time, but it's a part-time Monday, Wednesday, or Wednesday, Friday.
Right.
It's a part-time, these assigned hours, and you can either do it those assigned hours or you can't, but this is, then this way we can let the people know.
Absolutely.
This is our schedule. This is when you come in and pay your tickets. It's going to be easier for you and everybody. There's the set schedule, you know.
We do that. We tell them when they're in court. You know, this is
court. But what's court? One day a month?
No, it's two.
2 days a month?
Every other. And that's another thing that I would like to do once a week. But we're supposed to have the constables here. And the budget for the constables does not.
We have not budgeted.
Afford
to cover
them to come. Right. Once a week.
Now, what I told Devin was in our conversations that maybe he could move it to three. And so at the end of the year, see if that alleviates some of their pressure. And so start somewhere at three and then see where our finances go. We were a little bit over, I think, last year. We had a little bit extra.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have to, it's going to be way better at three than it would be at four. And we can try that. And see what's in our budget, and then we just have to do a, you know, budget transfer to cover it if we agree with three. If he you know, does that for the rest of the year. Is that something the counselors would be up to? Is three times a year or three times a month?
Yeah, I mean
it's the court. I want to get to because yep. I got some other
information go ahead.
That I need to talk about first.
Go ahead.
I've talked to a few different courts and everything about the pay with the court here. I don't care what I make. With the clerk, I think the clerk position is it's not, you know, the judge position you're having to, it's just different. But as far as the labor that's put into it, the clerk's labor is higher. Now, for example, in Hastings, the clerks and the judges make the same thing. It's the same amount. And that's, I guess, that's within their town bylaws or codes or whatever you want to call it. They're busier there, but they have, I think, two of each. I know they have two judges. I believe they have two clerks. I would suggest, or I recommend or propose that I understand that the budget is what it is currently, but going forward in the future, say next year, that it's considered to make those equal and disperse, you know, more of that, allocate more to the clerk position just due to the nature of it being laborious. And yeah, I understand the judge is a elected position. I understand it, you know, is, you know, sort of a position of esteem in the community. But at the end of the day, it's part-time for how much, you know, is being made off of it. I think keeping that.
What's the difference?
Clerk.
Do you know right now between the judge and the clerk?
I was just looking it up.
It's $4,000.
$4,000 now. And
16 and 12.
The justice court clerk in 21 was making 10,000. They raised it for 22 to 11,000. We raised it for 23 to 12,000.
Yeah.
So we've been slowly increasing, and the town justice went from 15 in 21 to 16 in 22 as well as 23.
Well, I think if they do end up doing it, we do bring that up and discuss it, then I think if there'll be mandatory times. It'll be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so many hours a night. We're going to have something to justify, you know, $14,000, you know what I mean?
Well, absolutely, but I just think that for the amount of time that the position takes, and it's going to be at any court in this county or any other county, it's all the same program, it's all the same stuff. There's a lot of administrative stuff that has to happen, and it's not rocket science, but it's labor intensive. It requires, you know, like we're talking about getting the mail, inputting a bunch of stuff, answering emails sometimes throughout the day where you're, you know, maybe you're not here, but you're sort of, you know, doubling up with your civilian job. And it is especially with the judge position, it's a job you run for, you know, it's an elected position. It's a community position. I see the clerk, you know, that's, unless it's, you know, a spouse or something like that, it's somebody's job. They're doing it. They're probably not doing it because, you know, they really want to be the clerk.
Right.
You know, it's just the ministerial, it's behind the scenes stuff that makes it all work. And anyways, I propose there is and this is something that's come up. We have $1,000 currently allocated for the backup clerk. We can't have a backup clerk unless that clerk takes 12 hours a year of mandatory training, ethics training, and that's all done through the courts, and is fingerprinted and has a background check done through the courts, and then gets a court email. So you have to onboard through the courts before you can have access to any of our systems. And I understand that in the past, maybe that didn't happen, but that's how it has to happen. And that's why previously when Ms. Angst was doing the clerk and then she wanted to stay on as a backup, I was told by OCA court administration that can't happen because she didn't have the requisite trainings completed in the requisite amount of time. So because of that, they said that, you know, they pulled her email, she lost access to the courtroom programs. So anyways, we could totally, the town could have a backup. The court could have a deputy clerk or a part-time clerk to the part-time clerk, but they have to go through all of that to do it. And I don't know for that amount, you know, whatever it is, 1,000, are you going to find somebody that's willing to do that to, you know, just to be the backup and maybe come in and, you know, with an allocation of $1,000 a year?
I'm just going to let you know now is, we did not have that $1,000 a year till this year. We just put that in the budget this year.
Did we?
Yeah, it was zeros before. The deputies, it was zero in 21 and zero in 22.
Yeah.
They were just taking it out of. Kelly, do you know where they were taking that out of?
I'm not a good person to ask because I didn't put it in before.
Okay. So maybe we didn't even have one. We didn't have a deputy. I know we just put it in because Trudy was going to hang out for an assist for a while. We needed some money. So we tried to budget for that. The only thing other I can personally say to that is that a lot of people here in Parrish, they work jobs. For example, even my bookkeeper, who is also the payroll clerk, they're working 15 to 20 hours a week with what they make. I don't know how many hours your clerk is working in a week. So in order to justify any more monies, I would like to see how many hours she's working. Is she working 10? If she's working 10 and she's making already $12,000, that's $1,000 a month. Right. That's easy math. Mm-hmm. That's $250 a week. And if she's only working 10 hours, it's $25 an hour. Nobody here in Parrish makes $25 an hour.
Right.
I mean, that's simple math, that 12 grand a year. I mean, that was just doing $1,000 a month.
Yeah, Parrish doesn't
It isn't Hastings. It isn't the other.
I get that. Towns, you know what I'm saying? I get that. But I think having at least the equal, you know, like Hastings does with the clerk and the judge make the same amount. And I think that given what the clerks do and the fact that the judge shouldn't, you know, I don't think any judges in the state are doing this.
So you
know,
do you
because
think
they're making a lot of money because right. nobody's making over.
Do you think we overpay our justice?
No, but I would give up.
So if you were,
I would reallocate some of my pay to go to the clerk because I think the clerk should make more.
Right.
That's what I'm
right saying. Now they're making 28. So if you both made 14, it'd be two up for the court clerk and two down for the justice. But because it's an elected official with elected salary, and maybe Kelly can weigh in way more than I could on this one. Can we lower an elected official salary?
You can't lower it. Lower a judge's salary in the middle of his term.
So we can't even do that this year. It's something we can look at next year.
Right. Yeah. These are my thoughts. Obviously, yeah. I understand that, you know, I understand the situation. I understand where you guys are coming from. I understand from a budget standpoint that you guys can't just increase. And I understand that there may be limitations on moving around the salary of an elected official mid.
Yeah, that's state law.
Mid term or whatever you want to call it.
Can't lower that.
I just things to think about. I think a great point with having set hours.
Well, not for nothing. We went over the, we were redoing the employee handbook that hasn't been done since 2011. And in reality, in the employee handbook, which we're going to talk about later, there is a section in there that's required for department heads of all departments to turn in attendance sheets of their clerks or whoever is working in their department to the supervisor every week. And we haven't done that. But
is that even for salaried?
Yes, that is in the handbook. Wow. And that's where it hasn't been fouled. You know what I'm saying? Because we were talking about, well, geez, you know, as a justice, they just keep track of her hours and hand them in. So, well, no. Well, you can't do that with just one department. You know, you can't isolate one department and say, here, keep track of the 10 hours when you're not going to do it to all. So it's something that we're going to talk about in the handbook. Do we go with this that's written or do we eliminate it? You know what I mean?
Elected or appointed?
Both.
All.
Everybody. Any town employee. Department head is required to hand in the attendance monthly or weekly to the supervisor. So it's to keep track of it and hand it in. So it's like, geez, we haven't been doing that. You know what I mean? But it's in there because we read it right when we were going over it the other day.
I also think there's a little bit of, that's just taking everybody at their word, especially with me, because, you know, like I said,
we're two
ships passing in the night most of the time, unless it's court night.
Right.
And then I'm taking attendance or tracking for the constables. And then
like I said, the only other way around that would be, you know, if you're advertising for a court clerk or you're looking for right. one.
I mean, or
this is what the job consists of. You know, you got to have 2, 3, 4 hours a week, whether it's split up between 2 days.
What else we could do is we can make that position hourly.
Or you can make it to pay hourly, but then you're going to have to keep track. You know,
she's going
to. The thing is, outside of here, she's not going to be obligated to do nothing.
Right.
The only way you're going to be paid hourly is the time you're here. Because how can you keep track of somebody saying, hey, I spent this many hours today working, or I spent this many hours, you know, I mean, again, not that anybody's going to lie, but not, you know, I mean, there's no way of knowing, you know, that. So that's, you know.
I mean, normally all the other employees are hourly. I mean, well, the deputies are.
Right.
Right. Currently, we have that position as salary. And we could make it hourly, like I said, where he would sign her sheet that she was here for 3 hours. We pay her 3 hours for that week, 10 hours for the next week, 20 hours for the next week.
I mean, you have to cap it, though.
Well,
then somebody comes in and becomes the clerk and okay, great, I'm hourly. I'm here 40 hours.
But you also have to work within your budget. Like my personal confidential clerk, I'm obligated to pay him $750 a year, and I try very hard not to go over my budget.
Right.
So that, you know, same thing with Kelly. Kelly's got a deputy that she has so many hours that she can use her for, and when she's done, she's done. Unless there's a major catastrophe, then we go over our budget. We have to make a budget amendment.
Right. that's because, you know, say we're in September and we're over budget, I can't just not
But then the board would understand that she's worked this many hours, we're paying her wage, and we understand why we went over.
Yeah,
you know, there's the same thing.
If you run out in September, the board would definitely cover it for the remainder of the year. But then that's budget meeting. We'd say, look, we had to cover another $4,000 for the justice clerk just to keep them. So apparently, this is how many hours they actually work.
They got busier. Things are going
to,
you know,
need to reschedule or relook at what the pay salary is. Yeah.
For budgetary purposes, how many hours would you suggest a week for a clerk, just an average?
How many hours? Oh, if you were going hourly?
Well, irregardless, how many hours do you think the job, just so the next time we do this with the budget, we can appropriate correctly?
Between 10 and 15?
Per week?
Per week?
I think it's hard. Is that comfortable?
Per week. Per week.
Comfortable.
Yeah, and I think that it ebbs and flows a little bit.
Right, and it's gonna. Sure. That's where you got your average.
Some nights we have 100 people on our docket for court, and some nights we have 40.
Yeah, okay.
Some nights when we have 40 people show up and we're here till 9 at night, and sometimes we have 100 on the docket, 4 people show up, and we're here for 45 minutes. So it just depends a little bit. In other news, aside from everything we've just talked about, now I can just blow it all up. I'm likely going to be offered a job in Montana. And
can we go with you?
I'm likely going to take it, and we are likely putting our house on the market in the coming months.
I wonder if we don't start there.
Great Falls. I did. Yeah.
Been there.
And we will likely not be living in Parrish anymore, obviously. So that would, you know.
When is your.
Well, it's going to take some time to recover from that, isn't it?
Yeah.
When is your estimated
departure?
Yeah.
I think, well, that depends a lot on, you know, the success and sale of our property and things like that. I would believe, like, if everything went smoothly, the end of the summer, August timeframe.
Do we have a special election, or do we appoint like we just did?
We would have to appoint again.
I am obviously, I'm not going to like just throw in the flag tomorrow or anything. I'll keep doing this until I am no longer living here, or until you guys find somebody who wants to do it. And if they're willing to.
Similar to what Carl did.
Come in. Yeah.
Because there is an election this year in November. You were up anyways, correct? So somebody in the community may be out there looking to become our next judge. And maybe they could even express interest to you. Because
if you know of anybody or anybody's discussed potentially running, my suggestion would be to have them come in and be able to shadow, like I did with Carl a little bit, as soon as possible.
They also have to have the schooling first, because they wouldn't be a lawyer.
They don't need it to shadow. They need it to take the bench. We just, like, my wife and I, this is like very fluid still. It's new still. I'm certain that the other courts in the area could
cover,
assist at least for a time with the other, you know, the other Oswego County courts, given that this is only a once every 2 weeks court currently.
So they would come in here.
They could sit in the court here. Okay. I'm certain they could do that for a time, because I know that this isn't, you know, when judges get fired or removed, they, you know,
right.
There's situations where the next day they need people to fill in and they can do it. I don't know if it would actually be them coming here to sit or if the cases from here would get kicked over to those other places. I think this just happened in West Monroe.
Yeah, they lost their, and I could call up Vern and see what they did.
I'll talk to Judge Nipper and the local Oswego County magistrates to figure it out. I'll talk to Allison at Hastings. The Hastings court would probably be because they're the closest, the most likely, and Allison's an attorney and they have two judges. So,
okay, next question. As you leave, the next judge coming in gets to appoint their court clerk.
Absolutely. I
would. Which means we need two new positions. Is that correct?
Potentially.
Worst case scenario.
It's up to the new judge.
Right.
That's bottom line. But unless they're bringing in a spouse
or
somebody who's been a court clerk in the past, I think it would, at least to begin with, it would be a bad move on their part to try to, you know, do the training wheels thing
right.
with two people, because that's what I was doing with Trudy, and it was
right.
difficult.
With that in mind, I know we have $1,000 in our budget for a deputy. Because somebody may have to become the deputy to assist in the transition, I don't think I can add, I don't think I can personally take that $1,000 and move it to your court clerk's position at this time, knowing that we're going to need that money to cover a deputy to be trained, or whether she's collecting the money, or, you know, same thing we did in, you know, it's just something now that just adds more.
I think that as far as the clerk's pay is being considered, I think that just next election, when you're doing
it
for the calendar year, whenever you review everything, I would just strongly consider that.
Well, that's half the reason why we raised it $1,000.
It's a different story if it's a it's a spouse relationship, because then it's like, well, right. It doesn't matter where it goes, it's going to the same house. And I think that can be, you know, a lot of courts do that where it's a spouse, or in Hastings, it's the judge's mom is the clerk. And
you know, quite honestly, that's why, believe it or not, that we took into consideration. Normally we don't give raises every other year. I mean, some people have been in parish for over 7 years and have never had a raise in their position. And we looked at that closely, and because of the way it was going, that's why we did raise that this year as well as last year.
Yeah.
You know, so we're trying to get ahead of it, but boy, I tell you, you know, it's going to be, it will be next year, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Really. With that $1,000 though, if there's somebody that wants to train or
right.
get it yeah, done,
we can
just have them. I need to get them in contact with our OCA so they can get the fingerprinting done. They can get
right.
the training required.
Well, once we get a new judge, then they can appoint, and then.
Right. But you could have that backup appointed through OCA. Okay.
So
and then they could just be in, because the court doesn't care who appoints who. They don't,
right.
they're not like, so, well, did you get appointed by the judge? They just want a body. And right.
in order to assist you with that, would you like us to run an ad looking for a deputy court clerk?
If you would like to, I think that would help the town to get somebody potentially interested. So if there is
the turnover,
then,
and if you not, have then somebody. You have somebody as well that could be.
And again, if they're trained up, if the new judge is like, well, I don't want Katie to be the clerk, I want to appoint my spouse, or I like this person.
So we've only wasted
whoever it is, you still have that backup that is trained up that can assist and
right.
someone help. I think that would be.
Kelly, do we need a motion to place an ad?
Yes,
we do. Okay, can I? Is everybody?
I move to make a motion to place an ad for a deputy court clerk.
Second.
Yeah. Any more discussion?
No.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained. Motion carries to place an ad for a deputy court clerk. Just like that. One thing got done.
And yeah, they, you know, I'm more than happy to talk to them or you know, kind of explain how everything goes. Katie can do that, obviously, too.
Right.
It's up to the new judge, so I can't really say, but I think they would be, if anybody here talks to him, if I talk to him, I'll tell him, look, you know, if you want to appoint somebody in the future, great. Don't come in and clean house and then start from ground zero, because they're just going to get bogged down. And
well, if we have a deputy, is that under our control? Because if, like you say, if you have a new justice and he doesn't, if he wants to change the clerk, that will he change the deputy clerk also?
I think he could, but I don't see why.
I just don't want to be out that money. You know, why do the work if we're not sure?
Right.
Right. Well, I think the intent with the $1,000, if correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, was to have an hourly deputy.
That would be an hourly deputy.
So it's like a fill-in.
That is what we were going to pay Trudy with.
Okay, so I'm just, I don't want to lose everything.
Right.
To a judge's
room. And if we do, and if it does become an issue, anything that the court is closed on as far as a court clerk, how do we pay a court clerk that comes from the other town? Say we go to Hastings, who does the court clerk work then? If we have a judge.
You're saying that if there's an, in the interim, there's like not a parish judge.
Correct.
In a parish court, who would pay?
Or yeah, who would there be a court clerk?
Well, they would use likely their own court clerk, or if there was still a court clerk here, absolutely. Because some courts I know have run with only a clerk, and okay, the judges would come in and
so assist. It may or may not, but if they both leave, town have to have pay Hastings to take this for us for a little
probably.
While?
Probably. Mm-hmm.
So we still have to have money. I was thinking if there was nobody here doing the job, we don't have to pay anybody. That's where we get the extra money. But
no,
we can worry about that in the future.
Well, you pay them.
As long as everybody's aware that it could happen.
Right, and it could have
balances out of the justice.
Right, or we could lose $500 on this next deputy, and if we lose $500 to try to train her for a little while, and then gets replaced, I mean, it's only till November.
As long as you're aware of it.
Yeah, I mean, $500 is.
You got to have somebody though.
You got that's the problem. We're going to be in a tough situation. So,
I don't know if it's possible to use folks that are doing other things in the building already, but obviously
it is possible. I just don't know if some people are full-time essentially, right?
So it's like if they're full-time and then they're like during the day coming down here to work, how are you, you know, justifying
that? We can
salary perspective.
When we advertise it, we'll let everybody know, and you know, that's already here, if they want something extra.
Right.
Right now we don't have a lot of those people.
But again, I don't have any date yet. I just,
right.
It's
out there.
It's
it's out there now.
And that may not even stone or
is it? Yeah, it's not like 100%.
It's 90%.
Yeah, I'm like waiting on an offer. Anyways,
okay. So within a month, you would probably.
Within a month, we will
finalize
firmly now.
Okay.
Finalize plans and
all right. Well, thanks for letting us know.
Yeah, and it's not, I wasn't like sitting on this. It came very, you know.
Well, right, we did.
I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
Talk to you again at the next town meeting next month.
What's that?
See you again at the next
meeting. If you want me to come to the next town meeting,
absolutely. Let us know what
status is. Yep, absolutely.
Cool. That'll work.
Okay. Any other questions for Devin?
Well, thanks for doing what you're doing, filling in, you know.
I know this just got filled and you guys were not expecting.
Yeah, life happens is what I always say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you very much then, Devin.
Yeah. Next month, what day is it? I got to put it on 16th. My calendar.
Is it on the 16th again?
Yeah, it's the same dates next for March, right? So.
16 Did I get this one right? Yeah, it is. 16.
Mario, thank you. I brought my planner, so I don't have any more surprises.
All right. Thanks again, Devin.
Thanks.
All right. Well, that being done, we will move ahead. Old business also was the records room shelving. Just so you're aware, the shelving did come in. I put it up. We were missing parts. Until we get those parts, we are not going to pay for that. Am I correct, Kelly?
You're going to approve the check, but
but we're not going to mail it.
Aha, that's, I knew there was something going on with that. It's just half the time. Kelly's on it and we discussed it, but I never wrote it down. I couldn't remember what it was, so I apologize for that. But we're going to approve it tonight. And then because we are waiting for parts, until those parts come, we will not send them that check. So that's how we were going to take care of it, because there's a bill and a voucher for
there's
it.
There's a note on it.
Okay. I signed it earlier. You have to. Any questions else about shelving then?
Nope.
All right. We're going to move on to ARPA funds. Just because it's been on old business, we still have ARPA funds available. We just haven't decided exactly what to do with them. We can continue to table it. I don't know what you guys want to do tonight, but.
Didn't you say you were going to wait until after the conference to see how the reporting goes?
Yeah, because we're doing the classes.
Okay.
Up there to see.
Yep, and I just put it here because it's still
yep.
on the table and it's just sitting there still waiting to be figured out, and we will do it, wait until after conference. Thank you. Anything else on ARPA then? Okay, we're going to move on to Merrill Park. We've talked about doing the repaving. It is becoming springtime. And what I would like
I
to
saw
do
keys today.
Did you?
Not like one or two, but like 300.
Yeah, they'll go back the other way. They'll go back the other way 2 weeks.
Yeah. They're going south.
No, they're going north.
I think we should put this out to bid. And if we put it out now, we will be able to get on somebody's schedule for this year.
Agreed.
But what we have to do is figure out what we need, and we have to put somebody in charge of what we need, how much we need, who to do, and then we can take, because we have to, am I correct with this, Kelly? Because I haven't done one of these yet. We have to put it all together into a proposal, RFP, whatever you want to.
Yes, because they're going to come in and say, where's the specs?
Well, so we need specs for it.
Let me say this about that.
Yep.
When you advertise, you should make it known to whomever that all of their ideas of what they think we should do would be welcome. And you may make up your own specs, but you may change your specs as these people come to look at it. And those are the people with the know-how. They've done this stuff before.
Right, right. Whether you think it should be, I mean, it's paving.
Right.
No. Whether you think it should be an inch and a half or 2 inches or 5 inches.
Right. Now, you can put whatever you want in the spec. But it'd be nice if they'd show up and give us their 10 cents. Now, like I was telling you before, I think the only thing that really would want to be repaved, that would really have to be paved, is the tennis area. The basketball is iffy. The parking lot could be resurfaced, which it hasn't had.
You mean resealed?
That's what I mean, resealed. And the basketball court could probably do the same. I don't think that maintenance has ever been done on it. That's why the tennis courts are bad.
So, and I cannot remember, I was there, but I took pictures, but I can't remember. I know the tennis courts were real bad. I don't know what shape the basketball court is in.
Not bad for playing basketball. I think they could get away with just being sealed, especially the parking lot is in good shape. This is the part that we got to talk about. I talked to you the other day about it.
Right.
We got to talk about this.
If we're guessing at the basketball courts, I would just like to repave them as well. I think that's what our initial, wasn't it both? Yeah. In that guesstimate of 75, including.
That's what I'm asking for. Right. A consensus of opinions.
I think we should do both. If that's what we were going to do originally.
Yes.
And continue with that.
Were you still deciding on what to do the tennis courts out of?
I have not been able to talk to those other people. I filled out an online request. I've tried to call. I'm just going to forget it. And let's
do the pavement.
Go ahead with what we thought about.
So we're talking pavement, striping.
I don't know who's going to repaint.
Anybody can go in there and restripe it for. I mean, we can have a striping company come in. Or that most companies that pave will have their own.
Well, and that can be quotable.
Right, quotable. But for the bid, we're going to have that added to it. You know what I'm saying? We're going to have striping and the fence removed.
Yeah. You can put everything you want to in the advertisement.
Do you want to coordinate with Kelly and place this out to bid with the specs that you...
Maybe not specs, but criteria,
whatever you want to call them. Yeah. And you can discuss having each person look at it and come up with their own way to do it.
I would advertise it as, you know, come take a look and give us your thoughts and quote accordingly.
Okay, right. Something to that wording. But right. If you want to work that over with Kelly, I think that's a great idea because you are the one that knows the most about that park.
I know where
winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah, I mean, right. Just saying, and more snow is going to come. I mean, hopefully it may not, but
no,
we're probably. But late, if we put this out, we give them. What do we have to give them? 30 days, Kelly.
Whatever you guys feel.
Well, everybody's starting their scheduling right now.
Right.
Yeah.
30 days.
Well, it can then. Be.
We can say by the next board meeting.
You can say 60 days and I'll be here before 60 days.
If somebody say, wants. All the companies out there are putting schedules together.
For right. And if they want to add something into it, they
wait any longer until we further down the season.
Right, right. I'm not saying to wait longer. I'm saying to put it in our ad next week or whatever.
Yeah, let's get going on it.
But we need to give them time to get the bids in. Right. And is 30 days enough? You want to do 45 days to get the bids in? Or do you think 30 will be enough and take it?
Well, they want
jobs
to go in 30 days.
Yeah.
They'll move right along. You know, okay.
They're looking for jobs too.
You can say 60 days. And if they want the job, they'll be here.
Well, like I said, it's 60 too much. I mean, you can go measure that lot. Although if it's covered in the snow, you're not going to be able to come up with a good formulation.
106
so.
By 120.
Yeah, but you won't know. They won't be able to formulate, well, I need 2 inches because of
this. We'll just kind of leave it open-ended.
Okay.
To and their them, suggestion.
You need a motion to do
that. And the only thing is, though, if you go 30 days, at the end of 30 days, you take the estimates that you got, and the board can approve which ones they want. If you wait 60 days, you're going to be waiting 60 days before we can approve something. Would that be too long for companies?
Well,
that's why I was thinking within 45 days of the date of the
ad. I think a lot of that depends on where we advertise.
You also can take the ad and send it to different companies.
Yeah. And you got to just being queen, you're going to have to send it to.
I can get a couple companies. I know personally, two companies that they can get, make sure they get it to.
And putting it into the right paper is most important.
Well, we can also make a motion to place it into
say
Oswego County again, like we did before. Or do you want to go to Syracuse
paper, Oswego County paper, anything more than Queen Central? Because you ain't
good. Right. You got to hit.
Yeah. So, I need a motion then to
advertise for estimates.
Yeah, advertise for estimates for Merrill Park for the payment.
Where you come and advertise for estimates on what?
Tennis courts and basketball courts.
Basketball courts and resealing a parking lot.
And resealing the parking lot.
You don't have really good sizes because of
when they just come. Tell them what it is. And if they're interested, they'll show up.
So we're going to need a motion to approve to place to bid the pavement or the repavement of the tennis courts and basketball courts. And sealing of the parking area for Merrill Park. Is that correct, Kelly?
And resealing or sealing?
Sealing. I don't think
that's why I said repaving.
It's not paving.
I would just say resurfacing.
Resurfacing. Yeah.
That the company might come in and say, hey, we'll do the tennis court, but tennis courts usually use this material. Or parking lot, we use this, or basketball, we use this.
No, resurfacing the tennis courts and basketball courts.
And sealing the parking lot.
Sealing.
The parking lot.
I'll make a motion for that.
And Gary's making that motion.
One second.
And Doug seconded that. All those in favor for placing the ad?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained. Motion carries.
Cool.
Anything else on the repavement issue? Okay, we will move on. Well,
are you going to talk about lights and all that other stuff for the park?
Yep, that will be coming up, I think. Hang on. Yeah, what we will, I will talk
about energy benchmarking resolution.
You know what? I'll talk about it now and then we'll just see if we can approve that. So everybody's aware, I sent you guys all an email. I've been working with NYSERDA and realized that we already had three items done or 3 points worth to receive a grant. We only need one more point left to receive a grant, a $5,000 grant. Now, with that grant, when I spoke with Amanda Mazzoni, she said that the changeover of the lights to LEDs in the park and in the highway garage would be available for that grant. What they do is they just send us a check. Now, that check would be $5,000. The village has already done this, and that's how they're doing most of their charging stations. But both of those items in the LED work did not equal $5,000. So what I'm hoping to do after a little more work and talking with Global LED is for them to come out. Didn't we or did we not talk about adding more lights to the park?
If we get the grant for $5,000, yes, it could use more lights.
Yes.
Down around the other end. Yes.
Down where?
Down by the bathrooms, down around.
I was thinking about putting one maybe for the tennis court and the basketball. Right.
Yep.
You're talking about adding.
Yes.
I have approximately, I think, 1,300, 1,200, somewhere in there, because the other ones added up to 36 or somewhere like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we got about $1,300 or $1,400 in this grant. Now, if it goes over, we're still going to save that money that we're going to pay for that. These LEDs out of contingency or out of the park fund. So with that in mind, I have to come up with a plan before I can get this grant money and before I can get the LED started for park lights. So I need to know one, two lights, because they need to make an estimate on that. I'll have to have them come out and say, hey, we want to run wire to that pole. The distance is what costs us the extra money. You know, they could say $500 for a lamp, but you have to run wire because they're not there now. And so that's where they have to come up. They just can't tell me a price. How many lights
do we go for the first time?
Well, there's five, right?
Five. I think you said five, yeah.
But that was a switch over. Right. That was already there. So the wire is already run.
But I'm just wondering how many. So if we're going to go, would you say basketball and tennis?
Well, if you want to add, that would be a place to add.
So you're talking about two more, three more?
Say, well, one in each spot would be, especially with the LEDs.
Are there poles there? Is the next question. So that's where it becomes more expensive as well. And
we talked about that.
Yes, and that's why I'm bringing it up now.
Do we have a general idea how much a pole, wiring, and a light's going to cost?
Not really, because it's really the so poles were going to be expensive.
Then we need that information before we can really.
Well, but I need to know a number.
Let's say two. How much would it cost for two poles, two lights, and wiring?
Say two poles and the wiring.
Whatever. Like I said, it's distance as well. That's when I was talking with them. It's distance. If you want to run to the bathrooms and you got to run 200 feet, it's going to be a lot more than being 10 feet away. So I need to know where.
But if you're talking a difference of $1,500 to $2,500,
right?
Because you're putting two poles in and some wiring. The whole deal behind this is it's all coming out of ARPA funds.
It could.
You know what I'm saying? Because that's what the whole object of doing the park was for.
And it's going to be whatever's above $2,500.
$2,500 out of the $250,000 is a drop in the bucket to finish the project.
Right,
it's 206. They're doing it to finish the project for the park, for the people. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Like I said, I want
to. Where we're going to get the money from, you know?
Right.
If there's, let's say, a maximum of 250 feet of new wire and two poles, that's what you're going to have to get a cost.
I would just say go for it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So two poles and two
lights.
We're
gaining $5,000. So we're still spending less money.
Let's just say 250 feet of wire.
Yep.
And labor to do it.
And installation of two poles.
Right? Sure. Easy peasy.
And just...
I will call so much up, I'll call up Mark.
It's not like we don't just have the money.
Next week.
Just, right. It's just make just up your mind what you want to plan on and
exactly.
get it in the pipeline.
That's the hardest thing, yes. Yep. I will contact Ellie because I will speak with him next week.
You know a guy that puts in telephone poles?
And we will... At least then I have an idea. Like I said, if it was five, it was 10. I don't know how many lights. So that's.
I think it was five, and then you're going to put two more. So you're going to have seven.
You got an idea. You know,
right. I got an idea. We'll get
it. Search it out. See what.
Seven lights, two poles, 250 foot of wire.
Okay. I'll call him on.
Whatever we don't, we go over the $5,000, we'll take out of our. Done.
I'll call him next week. And as we go on, there's that benchmarking resolution. And that was the final thing that we needed. And I will, it has to be kind of read because it is a resolution that they have to approve. So we'll get to that and approve that, but that will give us that $5,000 grant, which was a big savings. So we're doing good. With that in mind, any other thing on Merrill Park for right now? Okay. The village lease is the next item up for bid.
Yes, sir. Music to my ears.
Now, I was informed this morning from Bob Gannett, who's here tonight, maybe can lay in on this. And LJ is here, who is a current village board member. The village board last night approved, make sure I'm getting this right, stop me if I don't, approved the three extra keys. Okay, that they voted that and that was unanimous. And what we have to do as a town, it's contingent upon us paying for those three keys. Okay. So I talked with Tasia today. Tasia went and asked, these keys cost approximately $10.
Can we use ARPA funds?
So
go get another job.
Just so that you're aware that that's, and what, when I talk with Tasia, if we approve the lease tonight, in that lease is also the new wording that was not in there before of replacement. Okay, this is the new wording, the new lease. And it says the village clerk shall be responsible for the issuance of all keys. All keys must be signed out with a village clerk and returned to the village clerk upon the vacancy of the key holder's respective position. If any key in the lessee's possession are lost, stolen, or refused to be returned, the lessee will be responsible for all costs associated with remedying the situation up to and including the changing of any relevant locks or hardware. The lessor will have the work done and bill the lessee for the costs. Mm-hmm. Now, after contemplation, if you read all those words, let me pause for a second. Because also in the first sentence, they're giving keys to those with offices within the subject premises. And what I asked them to, I asked Tasia to do, and I'll make sure I reiterate this with Bob, is to include those with offices and their deputies. Because right now the code enforcement deputy already has one. You have one as my deputy. So anybody that's a deputy, you already gets one. But it's just not in the lease that way. So we want to make sure that it's in there.
Well, what about the other councilmen that don't have offices?
Right. And now the counselors, I was going to have them place that counselors will have to, and that's why I got to talk with Bob, is probably just have the counselors, the town will, or the lessee will pay for the counselor's keys at a cost. Whatever the village, whatever it costs. So whether it be $6, $10, $20. And we could probably add that in, right, Bob?
Could, yep. Yeah.
So
send as many keys as you want.
Right.
You gotta pay $25 for
them. Right. And I talked with Tasia, they were $10, right? So it's no big deal. Mm-hmm. So that would cover those keys and everybody who gets it in their lease. The only thing I had a question about is the situation about replacing them. And it was kind of like, we'll be responsible for all costs associated with remedying the situation. Now, when I spoke and all of a sudden they lose one key, are they going to change the lock out front? That was my bad side of the deal.
Reason being, because who's got that key?
Yeah. And it's mainly, you know, who has the most keys for this place? Town people. The village people only have the mayor, maybe the deputy mayor, and Tasia. Everybody else here is a town employee. Mm-hmm. So we carry the load of that. But I just, and that's why I don't know, Bob, if you agree with that language.
That, in what language do you want?
Up to and including the changing of any relevant locks or hardware. I don't want them to.
You know, that's just rekeying. It'd be, if the keys were lost, you'd have to rekey the locks. And
but then they'd have to reissue a new key to everybody else.
That's correct. Yeah.
So we're talking $250, $300 if somebody loses one key.
Would you expect that?
Right, that's
for $250. I could buy a whole new lock set for the front door and code it.
Right, but these are the do not duplicate.
No, I know that. I know that. What I'm saying is, though, if I lose my key, you know, or he steals it, let's say, and now I'm responsible for $200, $300 worth of rekeying, why wouldn't I just invest $250 in a new lock system that codes? So I've got a code, you've got a code, you know.
Well, they're not going to spend that money.
No, but I would be spending it.
No, because it's not like you are responsible. If you lose a key, the town's responsible.
Right.
Not you.
I thought the individual was responsible.
No, it's the town.
Well, regardless whether it's the town or me, why wouldn't the town?
Well, here's the next question.
A new lock system.
Somebody loses a
key. Do the cheapest option available.
Right. Yeah.
So if somebody loses a key fob now, what's the cost of a key fob?
That's $450.
Right. And you got to program.
All you got to do is get a computer and disable it.
Right. You disable that one, but now we have to buy another one.
Well, you buy more anyways.
Right.
You have to change the whole lock.
So, right. That's my question.
You just rekey the lock.
Should we come up with another option?
Tumblers.
If they lose, right. If you lose three or more keys, then, you know.
Well, if you lost that key, where did it go? Who's got it? Did you lose it down your toilet drain?
Right.
Okay, nobody's going to get it.
Right.
Did you drop it out in the parking lot out here and somebody picked it up?
Right.
That doesn't belong here?
Right.
That's what they're looking at.
That's been the right thought for the last 5 years.
I think that's just a responsibility. If we
change lots.
Me personally, if we want keys, we got to accept that responsibility. And the people that have the keys to sign them out need to be responsible enough to hang on them and put them someplace where they don't lose them. It's just a matter of, that's it. Responsible.
You don't want to lose your house key.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't have any house keys.
So, like I said, there's a lot of what ifs.
Over all the years, all they've had was, well,
they've lost so many keys that, over the years, they never replaced the locks till this year.
The village board is left.
Did anybody ever talk about carded access?
Which would, yes.
Well, that was brought up last night. Yeah, that was discussed. Not carded, but what's the difference between a card and a key fob?
Well, you can just, the card is nothing. You change it on a computer, I think.
So can you key fob?
Same difference.
Key fob's a little more durable than a card.
Exactly. The firehouse does it. We change all the key fobs right there. And we can also program Hastings Fire Department, Mexico Fire Department on the same key fob. And that's what we intend on doing. Mm-hmm. We're going to be putting Hastings on ours. Hastings, right. But
this is up to the village to do this, correct?
Exactly.
So moving on.
And not only with a key fob.
Well, do you think you're going
to know what time somebody came in and who it was?
Do you think you're going to do that?
What?
The key fob thing for the village.
I won't be on the village board long enough to figure that out.
Great. So great idea. It's a village.
Yeah, one more meeting.
Right.
Well, okay. How about their view? Because there's no sense us backpedaling with this key issue. If you're going to do that,
the village board anyways.
Right. I don't think the village is going to do that. Like I said, it took them.
I don't think so either. They would rather just stay with the way you got it.
Right. But it's just something so you guys, you know, think about these.
Just be aware of where your keys are.
If somebody loses one key, hopefully they don't make us do it. And if they do, then if we don't pay them, what do? They take us to court? I don't know.
And we don't have a judge anyway.
So,
yeah, we don't have a judge.
So
we can't get him to go to court.
So in the lease,
yes,
you guys are abiding by law.
Right.
You have to do it. You can't just not do it.
No, I know.
But it'd be like me just saying, I ain't going to that call. I'm shutting tomorrow.
I understand. What I'm saying is that it's in here. We can leave it the way it is and deal with the issues when they happen later, because it's just so vague in that. You know what I'm saying, Bob? Yeah, in that wording, it's kind of
because you're paying on a monthly basis, right?
Well, my hope was to approve this lease tonight, sign it, and pay them the remainder next month, because it would be on the vouchers next month. This month, we already have January and February on this month's, and we also have a joint meeting next month. So we can discuss some of this next month. What's that, Kelly?
Can you make motions pending no possible changes?
Yeah, but we don't know what the changes are in the lease totally.
No, it's possible pending possible changes. We don't know what they are now.
But then, if you don't agree on the changes,
it's
more screwed up. Either you pass it the way it is, or you just leave it alone and pay it monthly.
I, you know what?
Until you get it solved, whatever.
I will have Bob and Steve work on this, but we're paying them tonight, January and February. I would have liked to have it all done out. I think we sign this lease with the exception to add deputies to that line. We leave the wording the way it is and just be leery of it in the future. That we can. It's only for a year anyways. It's a year lease. So you think that's okay, Bob?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's, that's my opinion. Let's get these people paid. And then we could pay them the rest in March. And we can have a joint meeting. And it's already signed lease. It's over with. So it really won't matter. Everybody agree to that. Just, it's not a big deal, I don't think. I mean, if we end up spending.
When do we get the keys up? Are they going to?
What's that?
When do they get the keys? I mean, they're going
to. When we sign the lease, we will probably get the keys. They have to have them made, yeah. Because unfortunately, they only made, when I was talking with Tasia, they made like 25. And that's the problem, is they have to have extras made. They don't have any extras. So they will have them as soon as they have them made. They will give us a voucher and we'll pay them we'll put it on the voucher for next month. So we'll have keys as soon as we probably pay them.
Pick the line
of the keys. Works for me.
We can have his key.
Right. So if, is can I have a motion to approve the lease with the addition of keys for the deputies?
I move
a second.
Yeah.
Hang on one second. Let Kelly keep. Kelly, Robin made a motion for the keys or to sign the lease with the added deputy in there. And Bob will do that. And then Gary seconded it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
When is the joint meeting?
Joint meeting is on, or no, it's not on there yet.
March 8th.
March 8th?
Yes. Oh,
I will not be here.
Okay. So Robin made the motion. Gary seconded it. Mm-hmm. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained. Perfect. The lease has passed. I will get this for people to sign. As soon as Bob gets that other wording in there, we'll sign it for everybody, but we did approve it. So you can tell everybody tomorrow.
I won't see anybody tomorrow. Friday. Nobody works Fridays.
Okay.
Monday's the holidays.
March 9th is a week prior to your March
16th. So it's on Thursday the 9th?
Thursday the 9th.
Okay. All right. We'll move on then.
We'll be here either. So
everybody's good. That will solve it. The counselors finally get keys. Thanks, Art. LJ for working hard at doing that. And it was videotaped last night on Zoom or whatever. So if you want to watch it, it's probably on their website.
I got a text.
Not yet, but it will be on.
I got a text saying I got my key.
Okay. Old business, Tug Hill Conference. Anybody out there, please reply to Kelly by 3-1 so she can get it in. We're going to move on. Any old business that I have not put on the list that the counselors want to bring up this time? Hearing none, seeing none, we'll move on to new business. This energy benchmarking resolution, you guys all have a copy. I don't know if you guys have any questions on that. That's why I kind of sent it out one day early, but I'm sorry, but by the time I changed it, it got there. Basically, the supervisor's office will be in charge. Originally, it said the clerk. The clerk does a lot. I figured we could do the benchmarking because it only covers the amount of energy you use. But it's basically all just going to be looking at how much energy we use. We only have one building, which would be the highway garage. And it's got to be more than the gross floor area, which it is. And other than that, there's a lot of maintenance of records, 3 years, enforcement. And there's not much enforcement as what you have to do. You just have to keep track of how much energy you use, your benchmarking, so you can see where you can try to save. And a lot of cities do this with multiple buildings. We have one, and it's really easy to concentrate on the one. Like I said, the village passed this before because they, you know, basically have this. And Kelly, do I have to read this whole resolution, or Bob?
No.
Okay.
You just kind of put it in
to approve it. Like I said, everybody's had it. If there is any questions, I will try to relate that as best as I can.
So we had to put this on our website?
If it says public, so. Yeah.
Disclosure.
Like I said, whatever. I will fill it out more fully. It's a standard resolution that you just plug in your own information. So I had to plug in the town of Parrish, wherever it says, or something similar.
What brought this about?
What's that?
What brought this?
This is part of the NYSERDA energy things. That's how we're getting that $5,000 grant. You have to do so many certain items, and most of the items dealt with a code enforcement officer going to class. I went when the village was looking at this grant two or three years ago, but it also applies to us because the code enforcement officer is also the town's. And so I just happened to remember this grant, and they do send like an email once in a while, and I go, oh, let me take a look and see if this is available to us. And this is one of the areas, because most of it, like the village did street lighting and code enforcement. So, or, you know, the code thing. And she said we had three, all I needed was to pass this and we get that grant. Because I told her we have no street lights. It seemed like a pretty easy, you know.
Yeah.
$5,000. And they send you a check. So,
thank you.
Any other questions on that? And if we have to do something else, then so we pass a resolution tonight. It didn't cost us any money so far. So I think we're doing okay with it.
Okay. Done.
Done. Can I have a motion for that, please?
I'll make the motion.
Doug Houghton makes the motion to approve the resolution establishing energy benchmarking requirements for certain municipal buildings. I will give you this resolution, Kelly. You're just going to copy that. And Robin seconded that.
Yep.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained. Motion passes on the energy benchmarking resolution. With that in mind, we'll move on. Our fund balance policy. Um, Like I told everybody, this is quite extensive in language in your email when I sent it to you. It took a lot of time. Basically, what I did before I established this fund balance policy, I looked at all kinds of other towns. I have them here with me tonight, and they are all pretty much the same as far as the wording goes. The only thing that normally changes, because the first page, if you read through this, it tells you about non-spendable restricted funds, committed funds, assigned funds, and unassigned funds. If you want me to go into that language, I can explain it a little better. Mainly, we use the unassigned funds and the assigned funds. The restricted funds are those that are restricted, such as after we get this fund balance policy, we take those and we restrict them to a another, basically it's a restricted reserve fund. Okay, so once we establish this fund policy, for example, if we set it for $300,000 in our general fund, if we have $200,000 extra in that fund at the end of the year, those funds can now be put into reserves, such as park equipment in some funds. There's all kinds of other types, you know, of reserves, but we have to do this first so we come up with a number. Then we can establish reserve funds, and that's a whole another month that I gotta look and research, or another month or two through discussions that we can decide where to put them. Okay, but those are what is restricted. In other words, it's restricted because you put it into reserve. It's restricted only for buildings. Okay, so you right. can't take it out of the buildings and put it back into your general fund for your reserve or for your fund balance. And so what fund balance is the money you have for the first 2 or 3 months, okay, as well as any unforeseen circumstances. So you kind of 20%, you know, so you, it's really hard to, until you really get involved in it, to determine those numbers. And I'm trying to explain this the best I can. And I am not somebody that's really, I'm getting well-versed at it, but it's really difficult to understand as you can read. But so every fund, general, the B fund, which is outside the town or outside the village, the highway fund A and B is on this fund balance policy, okay?
DA and DB.
Those, they're in there because each fund is separate. So we have to determine an amount to keep in there to get us at least for, you know, for the first 3 months where we don't have those taxes coming in. Because our budget is based on taxes.
Right.
Whether it be, you know, the $1.3 million. Until we get that $1.3 million, if we didn't have a fund balance, we'd have no money to pay January and February's bills till we got the money from the tax collector. That's the simplest way to explain it to you.
Makes sense.
Okay. And that fund balance is also a portion for unforeseen circumstances before you have to borrow. And of course, we borrowed before because we didn't have a huge fund balance. So you would get a RAN, a BAN, or a TAN, or, you know, to not just purchase things, but just to run the government.
Right.
You would get short-term loans. And the comptroller's office doesn't like that because you don't have a fund balance.
Right.
Now we do. Now, I don't have those numbers for you tonight because then we'll go into that phase next, because mm-hmm. you have to have a policy first. So that first page explains those. Okay. It's just definitions. The assigned fund balances on that first page, those are already assigned to, for example, the basically the highway funds. So once they're in highway funds, you can never take money from highway funds and put them back into the general fund, or the, you know, you can take from, you can't go even from the highway AB and put it into the B fund. It has to stay in highway. That's just the way it is. It's got to stay there. So that's why those funds are assigned. Okay. So that's that definition. An unassigned fund balance that's everything that's left over. Okay, that's normally it's just the end of the year. The general fund account has money left over that wasn't any of these other ones. And it always is the general fund at the end of the year where we either underestimated revenues or overestimated revenues, you know, and where you get your mix. And you sometimes you have money left over. So that's why it gets really confusing. And that's why I tried to give you this early. If you guys want to table this policy until I can explain it better, and you have any questions, I'd be more than willing to table it. It doesn't have to be done tonight, but it is pretty much what a lot of these other towns do. The only difference is in the town finances, number 5 in the policy. If you look at number 5, that's where the numbers change, okay? And all these towns have changed their numbers to a certain amount because the comptroller's office asked that you provide an amount that is, what is their normal words?
At levels sufficient to mitigate current and future risks.
Yeah, something like that. And it's all wordy. Like I said, it's very, very wordy. But I did pull these from other towns, and I have them here tonight if somebody would like to read another town's policy. I'm not trying to push this. That's why it took so long. But the biggest thing is the numbers, okay? And if you see under 5, okay, ensure stable tax rates, user fees, the decision to retain an unrestricted fund balance of not less than 20% of fund appropriation, and it stems from the following, that this amount provides adequate funding to cover approximately 2 months. So
January and February,
mm-hmm. Approximately. It provides liquidity. And it also follows the guidelines, okay? And so when you come to 6, the they use unexpended and serve all the time. That's why I said it gets wordy and it's very hard until you understand what they're talking about. If you look at A, unexpended surplus funds shall consist of assigned unappropriated fund balance and assigned fund balance. So once again, you go back to the first part, unassigned and assigned, it's the A account and the D and the highway accounts.
What basically. I appreciate is that under 2, it explains in which direction you'll be spending those monies. First restricted, then committed, assigned and then and the assigned and unassigned.
Yes. So that's also there. But like I said, the thing that we can change the most is looking at B, okay? And when you look at B, this is talking about the townwide A, the B fund, the general part town, and the townwide highway fund, DA, okay? All those, what we're attempting to maintain is between 20 and 30%. Some towns said 25%, okay? But at the end of the year, if I'm still within that gap of between 20 and 30, it gives us more room.
Yeah.
Where I don't have to move dollars just to maintain it at 20.
Right.
It gives me a gap, okay? So the general townwide, the A fund, that is a good number. I have seen it as low as even 5 or 10%, all the way up to almost 50%. Some towns think 50% was reasonable and they save that much money. I don't agree with that. And that's why I said 20 to 30. Okay, when I talked with Laird Petrie, he told me approximately 20%, 25%, somewhere in there. So I gave us that little gap. I saw another town do that.
We revisit this every March. So if we leave it at 20 to 30 and we find that that's too broad, we can always narrow that.
Correct, you can change it next time.
Right.
You can move it. You can do what the town board at the time decides to do after us. It's always going to be there. C, so that took care of 3 of the 4. If you look at 6C, I saw one town do this and I thought it was excellent. They still gave us the gap of between 40 and 50. But what they tied it to was the CHIPS amount of money. Now in our DB funds, if you remember the DB funds, it's nothing but outside the village, it's only road work, okay? And so what they did was they tied their fund balance to that. So for example, if they wanted to spend $200,000 like we are this year, their fund balance would be $100,000. They need $100,000 to pay for their supplies. Normally, you know, you don't get that money back from CHIPS until after you pay for it. So you have to have it there. And that's why it's really good to have at least 50% until you get your taxes in, or till you at least get your, you get your first CHIPS check in. And so 50% is a good, between 40 and 50 to leave us that amount. Right now, we just say, hey, we got money. We just keep, we'll get CHIPS back. And it comes right in, it comes in December. If you know, if the highway superintendent doesn't get any work done early in the year, we don't get that middle CHIPS check. It only comes a certain time. So that is why I followed the other town. And I, instead of coming up with just a number or percentage of the amount of expenditures we have, like 30% or whatever, I tied it with the CHIPS money just for that reason. Because our manpower is already budgeted for. We don't spend extra on manpower for paving roads. We pay our guys 40 hours a week, and we have we have a summer worker that they can use for extra. And then the D part, it just explains the policy that, you know, we shouldn't be using excess. You know, it should be used for only one-time expenditures, which do not result in recurring operating costs. And it's to use to establish or increase reserves. So that is why that is in there as well.
That was my motivation.
Okay, guys, thanks for coming. Thanks for your service. So the next part tells me when we're going to, you know, after we do our odd, we know how much money we have as well as our bank accounts. And that's why that's, I will report the amount. We haven't even done our odd yet for this year, so I don't have it yet. And that's why I put it down as March to look at this. And if we do go, if our fund balance in the last one, if it falls below that minimum level for whichever fund it is, I want to try to restore that balance back up to that between, you know, 20 and 30%. And whether I can do it in 1 year via taxes or two or three, it will be up to the town board to review it and approval so that we can, you know, I can make a plan to fill it back up. In other words, mm-hmm. you always want your bank, your fund balance full at that number that we've just established, depending on our expenditures.
Yep.
And every fund.
I think you did a good job. Even though it's wordy.
Oh, it took me forever to sit down and realize what was what. And some policies are better written than others. And some are really short. And some are like a 2-page. And I didn't want a two, you know, a simple, you know, it took a while.
But you did a nice job trimming it down.
So I tried to trim it
down. I don't know what I don't know.
Right.
Like if something's missing that should be there, I wouldn't know.
It can be correct.
This makes sense.
Every year. And believe it or not, the comptroller in the audit we had in 18 or 17, I believe it, 17 or 18, 19, maybe even, they wanted a fund balance policy. We have never had one.
Right.
So even if we're a little bit wrong, we can adjust it. Yeah. We have one.
Yeah.
And it's just something because they can see. The problem we have right now is if we have $700,000 in fund balance in the A account, way too much money. And that's what Boylston got in trouble for, is they had too much money in their accounts. So they got written up by the comptroller's office and they didn't have a plan for what to do with the money. So basically they were overtaxing their people and they didn't know where the money was going. Whereas if so this is
more evident in budgeting time.
This is evident in budgeting time, but our first year.
Well, I mean, if you're going to really implement what you're talking about.
Well, right. Or it's after the odd comes done because I won't know how much money I have left. That's why it gets really it gets really complicated.
Yeah, but to really implement it and put the money where it's supposed to be will be budget time.
Right, and we fixed our budget. We continue to fix it. And we have to remember that a budget is strictly a guide. We go under and we go over, just the way your life, your budget is the same way at home. The refrigerator goes and you didn't budget for it. That's where you go to the fund balance.
Eggs got to $10.
You know what I mean? Right, so right. You carry a little bit more there.
$4.35.
The cushion.
Yeah, the fund balance is the cushion. The fund balance is the cushion to get you through the year and for unforeseen expenditures. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, I don't know what you guys want to do with this.
I pass this as is.
I pass the policy and then we can talk the numbers.
Well, we can revisit that come budget time or audit time, whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah. I mean, those numbers, and that's why I left it.
This is a gap. Good overview of.
Right. The gap of above and below. We can be in that gap forever. But when we go to put money into our reserves coming up in the next couple months, so you want to put money aside for a building, you want to put money aside for a truck, you want to put, we have to look at and see how much money we have, where it fits in this policy. Okay. And where you want to put that extra money if we do have extra money. So, and you could start putting money away, you know, for a playground. For, you can put money into a playground reserve. You can put monies in certain items as long as it's, and there's different, reserves, and I'll get into that later, but there's
right.
Type specific and not so specific. It just gets wordy again because it's out of the comptroller's office, unfortunately. But we will deal with that. So, do I have a motion then to approve this policy as written?
Yeah, I'll make a motion. I think, yeah.
I'll second.
Good idea.
Aye.
Okay. Aye. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion passes.
Good job, Tim.
Like I said, it took a lot of work and it's a lot. So I thank you very much. And we will continue to move Parrish forward when we start putting money in reserves, which will be coming up. Now that we've outwitted ourselves, it's Kelly's time. We will move on to the clerk. She had some issues she would like to discuss with the board, and therefore it was placed on the agenda.
Well, you mentioned comptroller's office, and this kind of affects, plays a role in this issue. This seems like every month, and you're familiar with the budget, the voucher process. Everybody plays a role. People have to turn their bills in a timely manner. I have to prepare the abstract for you guys to review and pay. Jim has to get those bills. The bookkeeper has to get those bills. And there's a process. And it's been the same process for the last 30 years, and it hasn't changed. I don't make the rules. We have to follow them. But Jim suggested that I send memos out, which I did. He suggested that I have a discussion, which I did.
Discussion with who?
With the highway superintendent. We all have to be involved paying the bills and the town functioning. And every month, the highway superintendent seems to have some type of an excuse. I've worked with 5 different highway superintendents. They've all had life happen, sickness, emergencies, but they all made sure their job was done. You guys are paying for a highway program that's not being utilized, to my knowledge.
What do you mean?
It's not being used.
Which, you're talking the Williamson program.
Right.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't know what you were talking about.
There's checks and balances. The highway superintendent needs to put his bills in. And what happens with that is twofold. There's checks and balances with myself and with the supervisor. And also, it keeps track of lots of stuff. But for budgeting purposes, the budget time, it keeps track of the employee's clothing allowance, sick days, whatever. Everybody else is picking up the slack. I don't know what you guys can do as a board, but I know I'm tired of getting my job affected. I have to stay late because every month it's the same thing. His vouchers aren't getting signed. There's three bills in there that have already been paid. That's his job to make sure that he reviews that. I don't think we have tons of money that we want to keep paying the same bills.
I spoke with George today, just so you're aware, Kelly, because I called him up for these vouchers. George was sick, so he couldn't come in to sign them. By the time I got a hold of John Hamilton, I couldn't get a hold of him because he was gone for half a day today to sign the vouchers. But when I spoke with George, George needed to make sure those bills, that the three that he get, were paid or weren't paid. And because my office upstairs did not get the audited vouchers done, I couldn't get them to George. So George didn't know that those were paid either.
Wait a minute. Every month he gets a copy of the highway abstract. He could refer back to them. And if he put them in his program, he would have known that.
Well, did he know that they were paid is the question.
You're missing my point, Jim. It's his responsibility to look back on the abstracts. You notice the date. If the date's back in November or whatever, hey, did this already get paid? Then you look at your back abstracts.
He should have all known.
Yeah.
He should have.
Or checked.
Is this something that we normally discuss on Zoom? Or is this a personnel issue that we typically discuss privately?
This is the town clerk wanted the town board to understand her issues. And because
it's my job, everyone else's job.
So she's letting the town board know that you should be aware that she's having issues because we've been through the other avenues. And I speak with George on a weekly basis. And we've been through it a little bit. So she wants you to know, the town board too.
So then it is normal for us to discuss personnel issues publicly.
Well, it's not.
I'm just trying to get that clear.
It's not
nothing that's to be secret.
It's not like we're firing him or going to demote him or
to get his job.
So what is his explanation to you, seeing that you speak with him weekly, on how, what does he say is getting in the way of him doing his job?
I don't get into details because I can't argue with him over what Kelly knows, because Kelly, you know what I'm saying?
So no, I don't know what you're saying.
I don't get involved. I say, hey, George, we need your vouchers in by a week before Thursday. Now, their issues, whether he's checking his vouchers or not, that's what he deals with Kelly on a daily, you know, when he comes in to speak with Kelly, because she collects the vouchers.
So you don't know anything about that? He doesn't talk to you about those challenges at all?
No, because he deals with Kelly on that basis. So like I said, I just hear Kelly will tell me, and that's where she came up with. And I said, hey, Kelly, send him an email, remind him, you know, vouchers are due a week before. Does he get them on time? Maybe that week that she sent an email. That's where she would know. I don't know when, you know, because she deals with it before it comes up to me.
We all have a process. Right. I shouldn't have to look over his shoulder to make sure he's doing what he's supposed to.
Well, it sounds to me like, okay, the program you got for highways, which he has, and the other highway superintendents have had, that does he know how to use that program?
That's where...
There's training out there.
I'm just saying, to me, it sounds like he's not aware of how to use that program properly. And then,
and certain people are
so
more,
it's not coming, you know,
able to use the computer more. So,
right.
I mean,
where to get help. I've suggested to him, I've tried to help him.
So, that's really all we can do is to tell him that we know we need to,
when you come,
if you need help on this program or classes to go for the training.
And the highway bills are not available because they're not processed. It's not my fault. I'm just putting it out there. I'll take responsibility for what I have errors I make. I'm not taking responsibility.
We can't pay bills for anybody. So it's not signed or not properly done.
Can you just give him back the insufficient homework and tell them to get it?
I have.
Okay.
We've had conversations.
And it didn't get done?
This month he's sick, okay? We all get sick. That we have no control over that, but this is ongoing.
Well, but if you give it back to him to correct, and he's not doing that.
Well, unfortunately, with vouchers, and maybe I can step in here a little bit, we try to have them a week in before the Thursday so we can find these errors. Once Kelly gets them done and codes them, they come up to my office. I look at the codes, make sure they're correct. If you know there's a discrepancy, I can go down and talk with Kelly. But that's the whole process. The process is if they come in late, we don't have time to do that process. If he doesn't sign the vouchers on time, we don't go through that Am I correct with this, Kelly? So we're trying to make it better.
That's what we just need to be told. Sign the vouchers on time, get them in on time. It's part of your job.
So it could, that's it. It could build up.
It's black and white. If not, then they don't pay. You could
have bills that are 6 months old.
Well, we try very hard. And we're still doing, we don't pay our bills late. We pay them at the meeting. We deal with the issues. For instance, like I said, the vouchers you have before you tonight, those vouchers, he could not come in to sign because he was sick and John was already gone today.
Right.
So what I did was I called George up and we discussed each voucher to make sure that he received the material or the item. And we went over them. And that's why I'm asking you guys to approve those vouchers tonight in the highway so we can pay the bills, because he did receive them and I talked with him personally. He will come in and sign those vouchers on Monday.
Okay, so
we're working around things. It doesn't happen every month
that he
doesn't sign them. But
if it's a one
time, been late.
Well, that's the difference. You're saying this is a one-time incident.
Where he didn't
sign. She says that it's repeated over and over. He signs
at the meeting sometimes.
Right. Then the attention needs to be
that he comes in.
Yeah. This month. Okay. Sick.
Right.
Last month, month before, right. You know, month before that. No. Next month, get him signed on time. Get him in on time.
My point is that they were given earlier and he said we could have gotten somebody in here to sign them.
Right. So just try to be a little bit more on top of it because it messes everybody up.
Right.
That's it. I mean, nothing that there's no intentional.
No, he's not. No,
nothing here done, but it's just that, hey, you know, we need to do that. We need to get speed it up, get this done the way everybody else does, so we can move smoothly. That's tough.
Why she's bringing it out to you guys to
we can recommend
what's going on.
Well, we can know what's going on, but somebody's got to get the message to them.
Yeah, we can get it to them.
Now, I signed all those, read the notes.
Right.
I saw your signature on almost all of them. So you have approved whatever they're doing.
Right.
Okay. And that's
like I said, and I talked to him.
That's what I went on is your homework
that he did receive. Right. And he will sign them on Thursday or Monday or Tuesday. We're not open on Monday, but Tuesday, sorry.
But somebody's got to put the pressure on them. Then, you know, just tell them.
You got to have them in.
Yeah. The board. Cordially request you to pick up the pace a little bit on the responsibilities of handing in the vouchers and getting them signed on time. That's a recommendation from the board.
And reviewing them and see which one's been already paid.
Right. Just a little more attention to the vouchers and the bills. Kelly, just part of the job.
Would a meeting between George, myself, and you solve any problems?
He says he's going to do these things, but then it doesn't get done. He and I have had discussions about this stuff. I mean, I have no objection of sitting down talking to him, but we need to follow through.
Okay.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Does any of the counselors wish to join me in this discussion, or you don't think it's necessary?
You can tell me when. I'll see if I can make it, if it's after work.
Whatever you want.
I mean, it could be during the day, when George is working. Or we could have it at night.
Whatever you want.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't have more than one counselor.
Right.
Because then it's a quorum.
Correct. That's why I said, would one of you guys like to join me?
Well, the thing is to make him aware of his responsibility.
Well, and I would like to understand ultimately what's getting in the way, because I don't believe it's laziness. I don't believe it's pushing back. Right.
But is there, do you want more trainings? Can we somehow the board or somebody assist you on
where
we
get the
classes out there?
Yes.
You've got to understand.
This is part of your job you have to do, regardless. Nothing personal. It's just got to be done to function. So,
all right.
You know,
is there anything else you'd like to?
No, that's been my main concern. And I have those suggestions, Jim, that you have given me to try to remedy the situation. I've given you copies of them and I've reported back to you.
Right.
That I've tried to do these things that you've suggested.
I think we just got away from more answers from him when we meet him.
And there is training out there and help out there.
Yep. Didn't have to take the time to do it, to do the training, to do, if you don't understand it, and there's training available, then do it.
Anything else from the counselors? Robin, you're satisfied? You understand now why she kind of brought it before us?
I think that should have been done off of Zoom, but if you wanted to do it.
We tried every other avenue, right? I understand.
I, as a clerk, don't have any control over making a motion to go in executive session. That's the board's call.
Right. Okay. That is what it is. Anything else on that? Everybody satisfied enough for now? All right, I'll move on then. The volunteer firefighter tax exemption. I know I sent you guys out a video to watch on that. That was kind of wordy as well. We cannot do it this year.
Don't you think that like these next three items,
that's what I was hoping to get to.
We should have a little more time to discuss it. We couldn't get it all done tonight.
No. Well, you are correct. And that's why, like I said, with this volunteer firefighter tax exemption, I put it on as new business because it was brought before me this month. It can't be done. It had to be done by March 1st. And you have to have a public hearing in order to do it. Same thing with the senior tax exemption law to amend it. You need to have a public hearing. We have time now because all those were due by March 1st. So we can revisit it. We can table it till we have time. It doesn't have to be discussed tonight. Or if you guys wish, even we can have a workshop. And this is my next, that employee handbook is going to be extensive. We do have a workshop next week that is available. And Robin, when I sent that email out, Robin texted me back and didn't realize that every month at the beginning of the year, Kelly puts out an advertisement that states the fourth Thursday of every month can be used as a workshop to discuss whatever. So that is why I suggested that, you know, we can do it
right
next Thursday. And if there's anything else we can't get tonight, do tonight, that would be a great thing, is to place that employee handbook on a meeting. If you guys would like to make a motion,
yeah, because we still got the end of that we were going to go over.
Right.
So if you don't want to do it next Thursday, if you want to have everybody look over the employee handbook for a week and meet next Thursday and discuss it, we can do that. There's options.
I've already looked at it. I'm just telling you, it's too complicated to try and do all three of those tonight.
Oh, no, we're not. I understand that.
I'm not staying till midnight.
We're not. That's why we have the workshop, is what I'm trying to tell you.
And that's what I'm trying to tell you.
So we do have a workshop available. Would you guys like to hold the workshop?
I think you have to. These are wordy. They're long. Going to take some thought.
Not that we're going to go over it now. This is largely okay.
Right.
There is one thing that I would like to change.
There's a couple of things in here that have got to change.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this is a good time to, my change would be put this workshop meeting a week before this meeting so that I have the information to look intelligent at a meeting.
Okay.
Why do it after the fact?
Here's my next question. This workshop is already scheduled.
I just threw it out there.
I know. You can you look at that handbook over the next week?
I already have.
So you don't need any more time?
No, there's just a lot of changes. I mean, everybody's right. Input.
Understood. So yeah. The question remains then, can we hold this next meeting, the workshop?
Next Thursday.
And discuss that.
Fine.
Okay.
We can discuss all three of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can.
I'm just saying, I ain't doing it tonight.
I understand that. And that's why I said we can hold, if somebody makes a motion to hold the workshop, we'll place those three
items.
I'll
make a motion that we do that work.
Do we don't need a motion, do we?
Then I take it back.
Table to the workshop.
You can't win with him.
I'll.
You can't win with him.
Yes, you can.
So we're tabled in D, E, and F.
Yes.
Well, look at them. If you've delved into them, I've read every thing.
Understood.
It'd be by 11:30.
No, I don't want to discuss it tonight. I just placed it on there because it had to be placed somewhere.
Right. I just, and the other day I was telling you about
Gary,
the work
Saturday.
Yes.
10 a.m.
I might have to work since the noon. I will text you tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So we will bring this up at the workshop. We are going to hold that workshop.
It's all open.
All in agreement of holding the workshop.
I'm in.
And
got that, Kelly?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to move on then. New business off the floor. I did not add, there is a meeting for CARP on the 22nd.
Yes.
At 6:30. Okay. So that would be the new business off the floor. If you can attend, please attend the CARP meeting. I wanted to put it out there to everybody out there on Zoom. And
I posted it on our webpage again as well.
Okay. What did you say at 6:30?
Facebook page.
Is that what you just said?
Yes, 6:30, February 22nd.
Yep.
Here in this building. Anything else, any new business off the floor that was not pushed to our workshop? Anybody can think about? I tried to cover everything. Okay, we will move on to approval of the bills. The supervisor's monthly report is not complete yet. Once we had issues in November and December, we've got November and December complete. We could not get January's done until we close out 2022. And we're going to do that on Monday. So we're a little bit behind with our supervisor's reports.
No excuse for that.
I know, but that's where it is.
See, you're holding the rest of us up.
I understand that.
What's your excuse this time? What's getting in the way?
There's no excuses. We had an issue. We had an issue, and that's what I can tell you. So we will move this on to the transfers to correct the 2022 accounts. Before you, I have all of these accounts to bring current so I can close out 2022. You also have, if you look before you, the detail of revenue and the detail of expenditures. It's the whole big packet. There's going to be the general fund.
Can you get by me?
Yeah. Thanks, Bob.
Okay. I'll be in touch.
Yeah, definitely get a hold of me for that. To add that deputy line with Steve, make sure that's okay.
We'll do.
And that's all good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Bob.
Take care.
So this is what our year end was. Okay. And if you notice the circled items, for example, page one of the detail of expenditures for the general fund, those are the amounts we have to transfer. And if you see those negative numbers, that's because we went over at the end of the year for those. And we went under if it's a positive number. For example, on the expenditure side, the contractual town board, 1131.97. That is what they did not spend. Okay, you're on the expenditures page one. General fund townwide should be the first packet.
Yep.
Okay. So right above it is that transfer of 333.67. That is where we went over. Okay. And so in order to clean that account up to zero or have a plus, which you can have a plus where you didn't spend the money, you can't have a minus in an account. Right. And the problem is because we didn't do November and December last year, because we had that snafu where the vouchers went in three times and we couldn't correct it until she got a hold of Williamson. What happened was in that the reason we went over the 333.67 was because when I looked at it, I said, how do we pay that? And we pulled up the account. We paid John Dunham for being a counselor when he wasn't one. Okay. So I called John Dunham up, explained that to him. He's like, huh. And because it's direct deposit, they just look at money that they don't even pay attention to how much money goes into their bank. So yeah. He had no idea. And I didn't know until the end that we were short, because when you take 333 out of 16,000, you won't know till the end. It's a small number. It's not like it went over 10,000. Yeah. Nobody caught it until the end. And so that pay will be taken out of this year's planning board monies to make up for it, instead of him cutting us a check and trying to get it back in, which would go into this year's revenues anyways. So that's, and what I'm going to do is do this whole sheet and approve them in order to balance everything else out. If you look at that 8997, that is the second item on that list of transfers. That is because we did not budget for Trudy Yanks working so many hours at $15 an hour last year. And there was no other line. We just put that deputy line in this year. So we were short that amount. And of course, that didn't show up till the end either, because we didn't move monies for it. If you look at the third one, that's contingent. I need to move it from contingency to the assessor. If you see all these 6 cents and 4 cents, and we will get better at this next year, I promise, is at the end of the year, if you guys ever notice your paycheck, sometimes you're right. 4 cents short. For some reason, these guys were 6 cents over their budgeted amount by 6 cents. Why that happened? It's just the way the program, and most of these, like the assessor is a biweekly. I have no idea, but we didn't notice it till the end. By then, I couldn't look at these numbers to say that we were short. So what I, myself and Angie have done is at the end of next year, before we send out that last paycheck, we'll try to correct these errors and Williamson through payroll. Right. So we will correct these 4 cents. And I mean,
so this 4 cents is an overpayment.
It's an overpayment of 4 cents.
So you can reconcile that internally, right?
I mean, yeah, I can just say, hey, I'm not going to, I got to make sure I can't go over 18,000, for example, the assessor.
Such a small amount. You can.
Right, but because of the program,
you can make the books right.
Right. Well,
program is specific.
And we've already paid it, so it's already done. Yeah, so okay. At the end of the year, on the last paycheck, we can try to alleviate these now that we know about them. Normally, people are short. I've never seen them be overpaid for their salary. You know, normally they're short 8 cents or 4 cents. And the counselors that have been here is like, oh, I was shorted 4 cents. I know as codes, I was always short 4 cents. Just the way the program doesn't break out. When you get paid monthly, 12 months, it doesn't break out those extra money, half cents over the whole period. So we will try to correct. So all those, if you guys, you know, assessor, records management officer, register of vital statistics, I can't even say it now, highway superintendent, those were all overpaid by those little tiny amounts. Okay. So I'm just going to pull everything from contingency because we still have it there. The next one is the hospital and medical insurance. That was because when we got looking into this again, Dagger comes out of the A account. And we did not budget for Dagger to pay his amount, to pay his health insurance. When Marianne left the year before last year, it wasn't in there. So when it came down to it, we're short. Now, just so you guys are aware, if you look at the DA and DB accounts for the health insurance, we're over in those accounts. But because they're different funds, I had to pull it out of contingency to pay for.
Right.
And that's why that's the biggest one. And that's why we were off, just so you're all well aware of what was going on. The last two items are the benefit work clothes and the employee benefit safety. If you remember, we had workers that worked at the beginning of the year. They pulled money out of these accounts for clothes or whatever, and then they were gone come November. Well, when the new guys got in, they needed some items.
Clothes.
So this $83 or $55 and $73 for the safety clothes and the work clothes, we had to give it to them, and it just wasn't budgeted for you know, for the extra employees. So that is why those need to be transferred. Is there any questions on these transfers?
As long as it's correct, no.
Right. Well, that will zero these out. If you look, these should all be zeros or above zero. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I want you guys to really look at these sheets, because this really helps you on your budget. And if you look at our revenues, most of our revenues are minuses, which means we underestimated our incomes and we got extra money. So we got extra money again this year, because that's just the way the budget was. But look at those items so you can tell. And that's why you get these sheets every month, or sometimes you get, I don't know if she's sending them to you. Do you want them? Do you need them? Do you want to just come to my office and look at these when you decide to want to look at them?
For me, yeah.
Yeah, because they get, but it helps you understand your budget too when you start, right. Especially at the end of the year when you go, huh, okay, we underestimated that or overestimated it. It will help you guys as counselors.
Yep.
But that's why I look in that. So with that in mind, please take a look at them. There's all four accounts right there before you. And if you have any questions, please stop up to my office. Call me, Robin, if you have a question. I will meet you in the office, and we can discuss anything that you think is worthy of discussion.
You know, I always check the numbers.
Yep. So with that in mind, I need a motion to approve these transfers to make the 2020 year current.
I move.
Robin?
A second.
Carrie? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained. Motion passes. Thank you very much. Like I said, please ask me any questions on those. I will be glad to answer them for you. We will now move on to our bills. We don't have any monthly transfers because it's the beginning of the year and there's funds in all the accounts currently. So we don't normally start finding deficiencies until later on. So I need a motion for the General Fund A to approve vouchers 16 through 34 for $24,064.11.
I will make that motion.
Second. Okay, we got Doug and Robin. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained. Motion passes. Can I have a motion for the Highway Fund, DA, to approve vouchers 15 through 27 for $21,165.09?
Move.
Gary? Second?
Second.
Doug? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained. Finally, a motion for the SF fund to approve voucher number 35 for $235,220.
I move.
Robin? Second. Doug, second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained.
That is.
That was for the fire fund, and that was the contract that we all approved last year for this year. Okay, and that was taken right out of the taxes, and I already received all the money, so that's why. With something like that, that's where that also that fund balance comes into play. If we didn't have the money in the account, and that's why the previous supervisor wanted the money in from the tax collector, because this is due the third week of February.
Does his budget work the same way where he needs all the money all at one time?
Who's?
The
fire. No, but it is in his contract, and he needs it for something. I wish he was...
He said they have payments
due. Right, they have payments due, and that's why in that contract. Kind of
the same thing.
Right, and that's why in the contract, it's the third Monday, and by then we should have enough tax money coming in to handle that.
Just if something happened and he couldn't get it all at once. I'm just
right. Then he'd have to put his people on notice and et cetera, et cetera. But that's why we need a fund balance. It'll cover that amount. Oh,
fine. So yeah, I get it.
It all comes into play when you're looking at everything. The workshop we agreed to is next Thursday, the 23rd at 6:30 here. And then our next regular meeting is March 16th. What I did not put on there, we have a joint meeting. March 9th.
I will be absent at that.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure you could send me an email.
If I can remember. I apologize. It's been going great.
Yeah.
I need a motion to adjourn the meeting, please.
I'll make a motion we adjourn.
Second.
Aye.
All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Abstained. Thank you very much, everybody. I look forward to seeing you all next week.
It's been fun.
Please look over your employee handbook.
Gary and I will meet this weekend.
You're going to do it.
I'll let you know. Talking about it.
The text.
And if there's something that they haven't found out, we can go through that real quick and easy.
Like you said, most of it is pretty much, there's only a few changes in there that we noticed so far.
Yeah.
And most
there's a couple little things.
That... Yeah.
Most of it is just a change.
Made notes to talk about it, see what everybody thinks.
Yeah, there was a couple other questions in there about dollar figures.
Yeah.
Things that should normally change.
And then the dates too, the earn dates.
Yeah.
Have vacation times and stuff, they haven't been changed.
That's
in
questionable.
Years. Yeah. So
they're very fortunate, I would say.
Which who?
Anybody that gets vacation.
Oh, I get days and days and days.
I get 5 days a year.
What? You 5 days? That's it? What do you work? Only Monday and Tuesday?
Ah. I get 10 hours every 2 weeks.
It doesn't accumulate.
And it adds up.
No, if I don't use them, I can accumulate them.
Yeah. So what does that equal a year?